everything you do kind of respects this, cultural norms, societal norms, and your elders. In a utopian Confucianist society, the leaders don't have to do that much because everybody is doing and acting appropriately, doing their duty. A few years ago, my oldest son taught, Austin, he taught English in South Korea at an orphanage. And one morning I was speaking to him, it must have been night here, I don't know, when it's all different. But anyway, he was at a Starbucks in downtown Seoul, very crowded, lots of people. And he was looking for a seat, and he said that he could tell which seats were taken, seats that were empty but were taken, because people would leave their computer at the desk or at the table, or their smartphone. They just leave that there while they were off doing whatever, getting coffee or whatever. Even outside, even seats that were outside the building, people would leave their computer or their cell phone. Imagine that. Would you leave your cell phone out there on the street? I'm like, Austin, aren't they afraid of getting it stolen? And he's like, they do not do that here. They don't do that. I myself was in South Korea in the mid-90s working, and I was working with a Korean coworker who was very fluent in English. And I asked him one night, hey, is it okay or safe for me to go into this one area of town at night? And he didn't know what I was talking about. He was fluent in English. I had to explain it like 3 or 4 times. And he's like, yeah, of course you'll be safe. No one's going to hurt you. We don't do that here. It was lost on him. These are remnants of Confucianist culture, Confucianist way of living that still exist today. The idea of the tiger mom is also a remnant of Confucianism. Listen to your mother. Practice, 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 and you will achieve excellence. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. I think Confucius coined that phrase. There's actually some parallels between Confucianism and the Western, like, Protestant work ethic. Taoism is different. Wu Wei, this natural effort, is not achieved by practice and hard work. It's something that you rediscover in yourself. It's something that's inherent to your very nature, yet you've covered it up. All this cultural norms and societal norms and all this ways of respecting elders and rituals, all that stuff has covered up your inherent nature that you can't, that you've lost, you've forgotten your natural self. So Taoism is about undoing all of that stuff to get at who you are. Everyone knows the saying, that person's carrying a lot of baggage, right? That person's carrying, he's got a lot of baggage. Well, we probably all carry baggage, often that we don't even see, right? We don't even see the baggage. If all I needed to know I learned in kindergarten, as the poem today, what's everything else? What's on top of that graduate school mountain? There's no question, though, that Confucianism can lead to excellence. No question. You might hear somebody say, my parents made me play violin for an hour and a half a day for 10 years, and now I'm an excellent violinist. And I enjoy violin. Thank you. I'm glad they made me do that. But there might be some people who might have said that, who might also say, problem is, I don't really like playing the violin. I always wanted to play the bass line on a tuba. I wanted to be in the Ohio State marching band and be that tuba player who dots the I on the football field. That's what I wanted to do. But they never got that chance. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. We've all heard that. I think Lao Tzu, the Taoist Lao Tzu, said that. Probably not. But actually, in chapter 8 of the Tao Te Ching, he says, in work, do what you enjoy. Think about that which you love to do. Maybe it's painting, sailing, reading, gardening, or if you're lucky enough, your life's work. You're feeling completely lost in that work. You disappear in that work. You lose yourself in that work. And then you look up at the clock and 3 hours have gone by, and it's three glorious hours have gone by doing what you were meant to do. That's Taoist Wu Wei. That's right action, right natural effort. Effort consistent with your nature. One of the great jazz bassists, Jimmy Blanton, died at age 23 of tuberculosis, but not before becoming the preeminent bassist in jazz, and he was Duke Ellington's bassist. It was said that he played from midnight until midnight. I mean, his band members said that he played so much that he wouldn't eat. He loved playing bass. After Einstein died, people going through his stuff, you hear stories that people going through his desks would routinely find uncashed paychecks, just checks that he was using as bookmarks that he never cashed, because he was so engrossed in his work that he loved so much that, you know, he just didn't get around to cashing his paychecks. That's Wu Wei. That is Wu Wei. When the ideas of Mahayana Buddhism in India met those of the Taoists in China, the result was called Chan in China, or Zen in Japan. Now, there's a definite practice component in Zen. Definite practice component, which might sound a little bit strange to the Taoists, but really this practice is really in alignment with both traditions, Wu Wei in Taoism, and one part of the Eightfold Path in Buddhism. One of them is right effort, which is really Wu Wei. Do efforts that are consistent with your nature in your practice. Zen teacher Barry Majid says, practice isn't intended to get rid of anything. Practice should be a way to let everything stay exactly as it is. Practicing Zazen, sitting meditation, for the purpose of effecting change is like exercising because you think you're overweight. If your motivation is to squelch an aspect of yourself that repels you, and to actualize an image of yourself that you desire, then you will need to exert continual effort. What he's saying there, if you're trying to make yourself better or, you know, exercise to lose weight, it's going to be effort, non-Wu Wei effort. Who likes to go on a diet? Anybody? Anybody like to do that? No, it's a natural effort. Nobody wants to do that. But he continues, yet, if you practice exercise, if you practice an exercise because you feel that doing so is a natural part of the day, and because somehow it makes you feel more like yourself, then no gaining idea will be necessary to motivate you. And that makes sense. If you do something that makes you feel more like yourself, well, that's what you want to do inherently. Maybe you noticed in his quote that he said that practice isn't intended to get rid of anything. Yet that's precisely what the Buddha said in the beginning of this message. It got rid of his anxiety, depression, insecurity. I believe these are completely reconcilable, because the Buddha really didn't sit down to lose those things. He sat down, he was trying to figure out enlightenment. He was trying to figure out other things. And then when he was doing his meditation, what he found to be his right effort, his Wu Wei, he happened to be able to see his baggage. He was able to see his baggage, and rather than continue carrying it, he said, I think I'll put this down. instead of carrying it. So where does this leave us? If you're still awake here, you're probably thinking, is he going to make us meditate every day? No, just today. But you might say, I hate meditation. It involves so much effort. It's so hard. It's non-wu-wei for me. And I get that. It can be difficult at times. It can be difficult. There is a practice. But maybe there are other things if you can't meditate. Maybe there's other things that you can do consistent with your inherent nature that are wu-wei for you. If you want to establish a spiritual practice, you might want to start by just simply doing what you love. Be intentional about making time to do what it is that you love to do. Paint, write, garden, woodworking, play around with non-Euclidean geometry, whatever it is you want to do. But once you've started, maybe you want to incorporate maybe some other practices within that, what you love to do. Maybe some breathing meditation. And maybe when you're doing that, being quiet still in your mind, you can see some of your baggage that you can put down. It takes a while, though. The goal of your practice is to see that there is no goal to your practice. There is no destination. Only the path of happiness that is right there at your feet and has always been there. It's nothing for something. By putting down your baggage through efforts and actions that are consistent with your nature, you begin to feel more like yourself. So getting nothing for something is what we find when, to borrow the language of T.S. Eliot, at the end of all of our exploring, we will arrive where we started and know that place for the first time.